Do what? Oh, you hear a sound? This is a very, I think, very powerful chapter in Psalm 139. And the longer I live as a Christian, the more I've learned to trust God. And I really mean that. The more I've learned to realize that God is in control and I'm not. The more I've learned to realize that every circumstance that's negative in my life is not necessarily the devil did it to me. There are times, all times, that if I believe God has got control of my life, I've got to believe him in the negative bad times as much as the victorious good times. I think sometimes that we don't want to ever go through anything because, of course, we don't want to go through anything. And I get that. But going through things sometimes is what leads us to where God wants us to be. And we wouldn't go that route on our own. But as God opens doors and then closes doors, and then we're kind of pushed to go through those doors we don't want to, we look back and realize, now I see God clearly why I went through what I went through to get me to where I'm at. I believe in the timing of God. I believe in the perfect will of God. I believe that in the sovereignty of God. I truly believe that we can add, I said this last week, we can do all we can. And I believe we should take care of our bodies. I think we should, you know, do things that make sense. You know, we should try to eat the best we can, which is very hard because everything they make now, everything is killing you. It's called population control. And that's just my conspiracy theory on it. So I know it's hard to find stuff that's healthy, but we try to our best to eat, you know, and we know that drinking and smoking and things like that can harm our bodies. So I believe we take care of ourselves. I don't believe we just say, well, God's in control. Give me 5 Big Macs and 3 fries and 2 shakes. Hallelujah. Jesus will take me when he takes me. You ever heard a smoker say, that's okay. I know I got stage 6 cancer. Not stage 6, by the way. I know I got stage 6 cancer, but I'm going to smoke. I'm going to die happy. We do those things, don't we? But when we truly realize that no matter what we do, God has our days numbered. The Bible's clear on that. And we can't outfox the fox, so to speak. We can't out-trick God. We can drink all the Slim Fast we want. Or we can do all the fasting we want. But there's a day coming when all of us, unless Jesus changes us here on this side, all of us will have a time that we will leave this earth. And the longer I've been a Christian, the longer I study God's word, the more I realize, God, you're in control of this. And you've got a plan for my life, and I'm here on purpose, and so it's up to me to fulfill that purpose the best that I can. And that purpose, as I preached a few weeks ago, needs to be God's plan. Because if we allow God's plan to become our purpose, we'll live a much more fulfilled, victorious life in him. So let's get into Psalms here. Your own purpose, Psalms 139, verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You knowest my downsitting and my uprising, and thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Now this chapter is really deep, talking about the omnipresence of God and the omni-knowledge that God has of us. That we can't hide anything from God. We can hide it from our wives and our husbands and our children and our preacher and our co-workers. But we cannot hide anything from God. And I'm saying this in a positive way, not a negative way. Two things this chapter should do to us. It should humble us to God, and it should make us see the love God has for us. Think about this. Have any of you ever had any bad thoughts in your life? Of course we have. You may be having one as you sit here right now. Do any of you ever have any naughty thoughts or dirty thoughts or ugly thoughts? Yes, yes, and amen, yes. God knows our thoughts. God knows what we're going to think before we think them. God designed us. God created us. God formed us. And though we may shock the people around us with our behavior, we never shock God with our behavior, because God knows us, and yet he loves us. The Bible says he loved us first. He loved us in spite of me. He loved you in spite of your thoughts and your ways and your behavior. He loved you in spite of those things. Those issues was not a measuring stick to God of whether I will love you or forgive you or die for you. It has nothing to do with that. God loves us knowing every thought, every pattern, every moment, every heartbreak, every fear, every doubt, every rebellious moment, every ugly word we speak. God knows all of that. And yet, he loved us first, the Bible says. That's powerful. Very unconditional. No conditions placed. James, I will love you, and I will die for you, and I will forgive you if. That is nowhere in the Bible. We understand about repentance and about forgiveness of sins. Yes. But we're talking about the love that God has for us. Even if your knucklehead child caused you headaches, you still love them. You still love them. We say all the time, you may not like them at the moment, but you love them. And even if they walk in that rebellion and unforgiveness and they're mad at you or they hate you or they don't talk to you or whatever their situation is, they're your child. And through all their ugliness, you see beyond the ugly and you see the beauty of who they are. They're your child. That's your boy. That's your girl. That's your it. I want to make sure I'm inclusive. That they are your children. Can't nobody up here say I'm not including everybody. Man, that's how God feels about us. He knows our thoughts. He knows every step we take, every breath we breathe, every word we speak before we speak it. He knows the intent of our heart. He knows the intent of our plan, the intent of our ways. And some of that time, that's not always good. When you're talking about your pastor on Sunday at lunch, God knows that. When you're talking about your coworkers, God knows that. When you're talking about that dress she wore to church or that hairdo she has, God knows everything. But yet he loves you. Next scripture, verse 3. Thou compasseth my path and my lying down. And look at this. You are acquainted with all of my ways. God knows. You're here because God wanted you here. You weren't born out of time, and you weren't born by mistake. No matter what mom or dad says, we didn't mean to have you. Oops, I'm sorry. Why is there a 22-year difference in me and my brother? I don't know. We just felt like someone was missing. Sure, Mom. You are not a mistake. You are on purpose. You are planned by God. Every life is given by God. Every breath is given by God. Every heartbeat is given by God. The heart begins to beat inside the embryo within a few days of conception. There's a life beating inside that womb. It's growing. It's forming. It's becoming what God has called it to become. Already in the womb, God knew what my call in life would be. Before I was even born, before I was even thought about, before Dad went to Vietnam, as they say, God already knew I would be here in this moment, in this time. This property we're sitting on stood empty for, well, till we got it. I mean, I was going to say for years, but it's been empty forever until we got it. And my school bus to North Iredale would go right by this property when I was 14, 15, 16 years old. I would go right by this property and never thought a thing about this property. I was too busy acting like a fool on the bus, probably. And so I never even looked out the window to see, you know, I didn't care. I didn't think nothing about it. And can you imagine God, Gordon, every time I went by the bus? He only knew. This 16-year-old was trying to struggle through high school and just, you know, maintain and keep it in the road. If he had any idea. He's a buy-low bagger. If he has any idea what this property is going to be 15 years later for him. If he has any idea. This property was preserved because God had it preserved. I've told you a story of this. This property, if you hadn't heard this, this property was supposed to be a development. When we went to first buy this, we had to buy it in several pieces. The family owned it, and we had to get quick deed titles signed off from New York and different states and get, because everybody, one family member had this piece, and we had to get it all together. So it was a little bit of a process. And when I first went to the place downtown, the city building, to get, you know, get everything going, they said, there's supposed to be a road that goes through here. It showed a road on the planogram with a cul-de-sac back here in the woods. So there is no road. was showing there was a road. This just goes to show, right, sometimes what appears to be is not always that. I said, look, dude, there's no road. It's woods, complete woods. Well, they had plotted this back in the, like, I don't know, 60s or 70s. Had plotted a road, and there were going to be houses on both sides of this little road. The road next door over here, a little development. It never happened. They had plans. It was drawn up, but it never happened. Gee, I wonder why it didn't happen. What kept that from happening? Because God had a greater purpose. And God knew, no, this is for this. I've learned that God knows what he's doing. A lot more I know what I'm doing. And I'm going to trust. Thank you, Mally. And I'm going to trust him. And I did say the other side on that air. Anyway, I've learned to trust him through it all, because he knows my ways, and yet he loves me. Verse 4, it keeps getting better. There is not a word in my tongue, Lord, that you don't already know. Wow. The whole point of me bringing this message today, is this. He knows our ways, he knows our words, he knows our actions. Yet he loves us. Man, we'll turn people away if they stiff us $5. If they don't come to our wedding. If they don't come to an event. If they don't come to our birthday party. We ain't going to talk to them no more. I mean, over something ridiculous. Here is God. He already knows your whiny self. Your complainful, rebellious self. All your thoughts. All your wrong words. All the things you say when the preacher ain't around, so to speak. And yet he loves you. The times you yell at your husband and wife, times you do things that you know you shouldn't do, the times you're watching stuff you shouldn't be watching, going places you shouldn't be going, God knows all of that, yet he loves you. I love the unconditional love God has for us. Remember the Bible says, as through one man came sin and death, and it reigned all time until Jesus, this one man, came and brought righteousness. The grace of Jesus canceled out the death penalty of Adam. The life of Jesus canceled out the death of Adam. And we have that life through him. He knows every word in our mouth. Verse 5. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and you have laid your hand upon me. I think about all the times that we are protected by God, that we never know it. I think many times going down the road, how close you are to actually meeting cars every day. You're just sometimes inches, a couple feet, 60, 70 miles an hour, you're meeting traffic, and how God keeps you, and thank God keeps them, in the right lane. He keeps us. I almost had a wreck here in front of the church about a year ago. Guy crossed the center line on me right here in front of the church. Completely was going toward me. And I about pulled over in LeJune's yard. He saw me, looked up. I seen him look up and jerked the wheel over to the last minute. I was like, I don't get too freaked out much, but that really got me. I'm like, phew. Thank you, Lord. Your hand was upon me. And guess what? His hand's upon us. And this is going to shock some of you Christians. His hand's upon you, whether you're acting good or acting ugly. His hand's on you. How many times do we look back and think, God, I don't deserve your grace. I don't deserve your mercy. Do you know what I've done against you? I don't deserve it, but yet you have it. This is why it's called grace, unmerited favor. Nothing you did to bring it. It's what God gave freely to you. Man, next verse. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high I cannot attain. David's saying, I can't comprehend the depth of your knowledge and love that you have for me. I can't even comprehend it. This universe is something we see God's hand in, and we see the vastness of how big that it is. And I read this. It was amazing. But I forgot what I read. But it's amazing. There was a fact I was going to share it with you, but it's in my office, and I meant to bring it in here. But anyway, talks about the speed of light, and how many Earths can fit inside our sun and the vastness of the universe. And, oh, here's what it was. They scientists say that it would take 500 billion, with a B, 500 billion years going at the speed of light to travel the perimeter of our universe. 500 billion years. The speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. And I did some math on that. I think it comes out to 11 million miles a minute and like 669 million miles per hour, something like that. So think about going 669 million miles per hour for 500 billion years. We can't comprehend that. We get past a million, we're stuck. I mean, we can't much process past a million. It starts getting real, I'd like to try, wouldn't y'all? But it gets real muddy after a million. I'm like, God, this, you made the universe that vast that it would take that long, scientists say, for what they have studied, to just travel the perimeter of the universe. That's how vast and big and awesome God is. And we can't comprehend that. It's too high for us to attain. Next verse. Whither shall I go from your spirit, God? Where can I go from your presence? We can't go nowhere outside God's presence. There's nowhere we can escape. When you're laying in bed and you're asleep at night, his presence is there. When you're knocked out of a dentist chair on that good goofy gas and you don't know nothing, God's there. He is there when you lie down. He is there when you rise up. He is there in your car. He's there at your work. He's there in the shower. He's there in the woods. He's there in the mountains. He's there in the beach. No matter where you go, if you went to the moon, he's there. Depths of the ocean, he's there. Deserts, he's there. If you went to the perimeter of the universe, to the last star you could probably get to, he's there. No matter where it is. I'm a big Star Trek fan. And with Star Trek, they're going all over the universe in that warp speed, you know, warp 3, warp 4, and they're all over the place. They can't escape God even on Star Trek. His presence has made what they are traveling through. Because God is in everything. He is in everything we see, everything we touch, everything we breathe. God is in it. And David is saying, I can't escape your presence. Look what he says in verse 8. If I should go to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, which means death here, thou art there. God, in death, you're there. In life, you're there. Wherever I go, God, you're there. I can't escape it. What a great promise. Remember, Jesus says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you to the very end of the world. And he is. He's with us. That's why it's important that we talk to God, we communicate with God, we pray to God, we worship God, because he's there, he's present, he's alive, he's right now, and he's everywhere that we go. He's through every situation we face, every life trial, every crisis in life, he's there. Through death, through divorce, through job loss, through home loss, through sickness and disease, he's there. God is there. We can't escape his presence. In your drunken state in the bar, he is there. In your high state of narcotics, he is there. In your lonely state with a gun getting ready to pull a trigger, he is there. Do you understand? The presence of God is there in every dark cave that you could ever walk in. He is there, and he will not leave you. He cannot leave you because he's omnipresent. He is always and will always be there in your life. You are not alone. No matter how alone you feel, you're not alone. In your darkest days, you're not alone. In your victory days, you're not alone. He mourns with you. He joys with you. He comforts you. He heals you. He restores you. He redeems you. He forgives you. He is omnipresent all the time. Not just when we shout hallelujah on Sunday. God is as much with you outside these doors as he is right here on Sunday morning. Because you take him with you. And to know that God is with me through everything, he's helping fight my battle. Verse 9. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me and your right hand shall hold me. When I'm overwhelmed in the depth of my pain, you're there. I can't escape it. This is why I say this all the time. For some people, they don't think they grasp the concept of this because we haven't been programmed to think about God this way. This is why I say all the time, we cannot. And I know it's a bold statement. It goes against every theological sermonary cemetery school. We cannot out-sin the love that God has for us. I want you to process that. Because if we could, we'd all be lost. Because other than my wife in here, y'all have all sinned. So I know we'd all be lost. If our condition of how we live was up to our salvation, we all would be lost. But because of the blood of Jesus that not just forgives of our sin, but we have an advocate with the Father who keeps us in the forgiveness of our sins. That's the whole point of the blood of Jesus. And we can't out-sin the love that God has for us. Let's go back to our own children. No matter how they act, they can't do something we ever stop loving them, because you just can't turn that button off. You want to sometimes. Just flip a switch and not love no more. It's easier not to love sometimes, isn't it? Just easier. If I just don't love, my life would be better. I'm going to stop loving. What's the old poet say? Better to have loved and lost than never have loved at all. Amore. Something about love is powerful. And we realize how much God loves us. And that cause we acting a fool, he ain't going to leave us. He watches over fools. He watches over drunks. He watches over rebellious people. Because he's a heavenly Father that says, I know what's best for you. And I've got my eye on you. And this is the vastness of God that we don't understand, because we place things in the natural. I truly believe this. I can't explain it because he's God. And we don't have that knowledge. But I believe the 7 billion people in this world, God absolutely knows every one of them. He knows the number of hairs on their head. He knows every thought they have, every intent of the heart, every step they take, every breath they breathe. God is aware of every living soul in this universe. He's the creator of them all. God cares for me. He cares for you at the same time. He's got 7 billion children, so to speak, he watches over. And he loves us all. And no matter where we go, the depths of the ocean, I'm talking about spiritually, he is still there. The thief on the cross in his last moments, who was a bad man, who was being crucified for his crimes, in that last moment of his life, looked to Jesus, and Jesus was there. His presence was there for that criminal. I sent something on National Geographic yesterday. I was flipping through, and it's talking about the Bermuda Triangle and how they were trying to find this certain ship that had sank years ago, and it said that this ship is in the deepest point of the Atlantic Ocean, and they can't get to it. They said it's over 5 miles down. Now, I want you to think about it. We don't like 3 feet of water, some of us. We get to here, we start freaking out. Imagine 26,400 feet, which is 5 miles, by the way. 26,000 feet down. That's a pretty deep swimming pool. God made that. 5 miles down. Next verse, Brandon. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be my light about me. Jesus is the light. And even in our darkest hours, we see him. We see his light. We see his glory. We feel his presence. We hear his voice. We see him. We can touch him. We can know him. He's not a distant God. He's present. He's right now. He lives within us. The upper room experience was for a very important reason that this promise came. It wasn't just so folks would act charismatic and be Pentecostal. The upper room was a moment when the presence of the living God dwelt and came inside the tabernacle of man to empower us, to embolden us, to teach us, to convict us, to to bring about to where we know we are not alone, but the power of the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. And when I speak forth the word, it's not James speaking about his might or his power. It is God inside of James that is speaking forth that word and that power. And things have to happen, and demons have to flee, and darkness has to go, because it is the power of God that's speaking through us, not us. It's not our voice the devil's hearing. It is the voice of a mighty God that says, I will be with you through good and through bad, through distress and tribulation. Though all is around you, you will not fail and you will not fall. For I am with you in the depth of the ocean, in the height of the sky, in the darkest of times. I'm with you and I never, ever will leave you. Trust me and trust that and see what I'm able to do. That's what God is saying. We can't escape it. And I'm so thankful we can't escape it. When your husband leaves, your wife leaves, your children leave, God don't leave. When your job leaves, God don't leave. When your dog leaves, God don't leave. When your preacher leaves, God don't leave. God remains steadfast. And that's why our faith has to be anchored in the one, Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world. Next verse. The darkness hideth not from me, from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to me. For thou hast possessed my reins. This means that the Amplified talks about that. This means that he has created an inward working. He's formed our inward parts. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. In other words, God put you there. Mama, I told you the one night stand with a good-looking guy one night, and she just lost her little way, and she couldn't help it. He had that blonde hair and blue eyes and leather jacket. And man, she just couldn't help it. He was James Dean again walking in the earth, and I had a weak moment. I'm sorry, but I got you out of it. That's a good thing, right? If God did not want a life here, that life would not be here. I believe that. I know some of us have a hard time. I don't understand because... They came this way. They came this way, and you know we want to judge others for how life came to the world. We want to judge others for what happened. But what you're really doing is coming against the life God has given. Now I understand there's a right way to do it in God's eyes. I'm not saying that. And the right way to do it is to get married first, then you have children. That's the right way to do it. But it doesn't mean when that child comes through another avenue, that's a mistake. God still had to breathe on that womb and create that life. And you have a child for a reason, and you are here for a reason. You're not here to go through life with no purpose. You're not here to go through life with no vision and no goal, no aspirations. God has something special for each one of you to do in life. You may not know what it is right now. It's okay. There's a lot of kids, 16, 17. Do you know what you want to do yet for a living destiny? How old are you? 16, she has no idea what she wants to do. Chance, you got an idea what you want to do when you grow up? Not really. It's amazing, isn't it? And we worry about that sometimes. We think we should always have that. Here's the thing. God, you've got a purpose for my life, and that's what I want to fulfill. And when that time comes, you will unveil it, and you will know it. I was fortunate to get my vision and purpose very early in life. Many don't do that. My daughter Christian, same way. From 12 years old, she wanted to be a school teacher, and now she is. But for a lot of folks, it doesn't happen that way. For a lot of folks, they're walking around searching to find where God wants them. And that's okay. But there is a purpose. And don't think you're just taking up empty space and you're breathing air that's somebody else that's more important should be breathing. And don't think I'm not worthy to be here because what do I bring in life? I bring no value. If we would learn to understand that part of our, and I can tell you this with clarity and with confidence, we are here to serve others more than ourselves. We're placed here to serve others. So as you begin to serve others, guess what? You will begin to find a purpose. There's something about serving others and giving to others and investing in others and being there for others. There's times in the conversation that we need to shut up and let them talk. But they bore me. Let them talk. Just stay awake and let them talk. It's not about us. I say this all the time. You know, somebody's the old fishing story, right? You know, Roger and Rodney are talking. Yeah, I went fishing. I went fishing too. I caught one that big. Instead, Roger's saying, hey, that's great. That's a good one. You know what Roger does? I caught one that big. Tries to outdo Rodney. Got that male ego going on. My fish bigger than your fish. Still just saying, you know what? Good job. And keeping silent. That's a very stupid example. But I'm just saying, we do that sometimes. Serving others is one of our purposes that all of us can do. Pastor, how can I help someone else? I can't even help myself. Start helping someone else and watch what happens in your life. We got to get out of our self-centered world about being about us and realizing that God has placed us here, and each one of us have a gift. We have gifts in our lives to bless others with, and they're different gifts. And God gives some of you gifts that only you can use. There are people that you can reach I will never reach. People I can reach that you can't reach. I know Don works very hard at his job, and he does a lot of, you know, he's there spiritually for his people. He does other things outside this church, ministry-wise. And he's letting God use him to be a voice for God in places I can't be. Because I can't be at Don's board meeting unless I'm hired. And I'm not a good person for that. I could be a great boss, but I wouldn't know anything about what you're doing. I could just tell him, hey, get busy. Hey, you need to be doing something. Get off coffee break. Put that cigarette out. I'd be great, man. I just wouldn't know how to fix any problems. But God is using Don. And Don is not an ordained minister. Don does not pastor a church. Don is not a suit and tie, a clergy, man of God, prophet, bishop, Don, a childas. But you know what Don is doing? He's praying for people at his job when they ask him. He's listening to them when they got problems. He's being a comfort and a strength to those that I can never, ever touch because they're not part of my life. God puts people and things in your path where Melanie works the same way. Melanie's reaching people that others can't reach because of where God's positioned her. It's a beautiful thing. Each one of you has something you can do. Destiny, Taylor, Ashley, Chance. Y'all are in school. You can reach people where you're at too. You can touch their lives when you get outside of yourself and say, I want to make a difference for someone else's life. You'll begin to see a purpose fulfilled. David knew God had already formed his parts and that he had him covered in his mother's womb. Verse 14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Look, you don't like the color of your eyes? Take it up with God. Don't worry about, I mean, you know, it's funny how we worry so much about trying to beautify the outside when we realize that God made us the way he wanted us to be. Would I wish he'd have left my hair alone? I sure do. But you know what? I'm half bald and I'm proud. That's all right. I'm still a beautifully made person in God's eyes. I am still hot in the eyes of God. You understand that? He made this. He made my eyes. He made my ears. He made my nose. He made Melanie's opal nose. And she loves it. He made us. I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made by the Creator. That's how much that he loves me. I'm on purpose. I was designed. Growing up, I always wanted to be 6'2". That was my height. I didn't make it. But 6'2 was the height. I thought that was the perfect height for a guy, 6'2". You know, you walk into a room and you kind of, you know, wow, 6'2". You ain't got to duck no doors. So you ain't too tall. You know, 6'2". And my dad kind of misled me because when I was a little boy, he said I'd make it because he measured me when I was a young boy and says, they say when you're this age, double it. And that's how tall you're going to be. Well, I didn't double. I doubled over, but I didn't double up. Man. But you know what? God made me the height he wanted me to be. and you start getting my age, you start shrinking a little bit. So you're not even as tall as you were. So you start getting elevated shoes. No, I don't do that. I don't do that. Not yet. We are fearfully and we're wonderfully made, and marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. How many verses I got, Brandon? That's what I thought. You are on purpose. Do something with that life. You're here for a reason. And you can make more of a difference than you realize where you're at. You don't have to pray, God, open up this big arena. Just do what you're supposed to do where you're at. Plant yourself where God puts you and watch the blooms that'll take place. You cut hair, right? All the ears you've got to talk to every day. All the ears, instead of all the gossiping about what's happening downtown. No, I'm not saying you do that. What if Stacy started talking about? Who got? Not food. No, not food. Not all the good restaurants. But you never know the ears you've got in that chair that are so struggling that need hope. And you can say, you know what? I'm not perfect. And some of your clients probably know you personally, know you well. But it doesn't mean you don't have a voice because you make mistakes. Because we all make mistakes. It doesn't mean we can't be used. I was talking to a guy years ago that says he would never preach until he got his life right. I looked at him and said, you'll never preach in. You'll never preach. You can't get your life right in your eyes. You might be right on Monday and Tuesday, but man, Wednesday comes, booyah, something happens. It's just how life is. You are on purpose. I want to do something. We did this a couple years ago, maybe 3 years ago, and it goes to my message so good. I come across it, want to do it again this morning. I want to do it as just an act of faith, because I know that many of us, we believe the lies of the devil, and we believe the lies of others. And I want to say this. Quit worrying about what people say about you. It's what God says about you that matters. And God says, you are my beloved. God says, we're going to do something in a minute. It says what God says about you. That's what we got to believe. God sees us a whole different way than others see us. And why are we trying to please people that don't really matter? God's the one that called you by name. God's the one you're going to spend eternity with. And God is the only true judge of the universe and no one else. And if God says I'm loved and God says I'm forgiven, I don't care what anybody else says. Y'all stand up with me if you would. Let's do this little exercise. I'm going to read it just to add a little bit, because you may not be able to see it in the back real good. So I'm just reading it as an act of just kind of leading us through this little exercise. Go ahead, Brennan. This is called How God Sees You. Toward the middle, it tells you to do something. I want you to do what it says in the middle as an act of faith. I know what others think. Turn down a little bit, Brent. Sticks with you. Because it does. It affects you. It hurts you. It inhibits you. I know. Maybe you've been called young, worthless, ugly, alone, a sinner, wretched, unlovable, disgusting. Maybe believe it. You may feel broken, without purpose, unwanted, too flawed, too young, too sinful to make a difference. But you need to know, this is not how I, God, your creator, feel about you. I will say it again. This is not how I, your creator, feels about you. And before I tell you how I truly feel about you, you must let go of lies. Hold out your hands. This party y'all need to participate in. Hold out your hands. And I want you to put every hurtful lie you've ever believed about yourself. Take a few moments. Think about all the lies that hurt you. Put them in your hands. Fill your hands with all of those lies right now. Put your hands now into fists. And I'm going to ask you to do something bold. On the count of three, I want you to release every lie to me. One, two. Open your hands. Let every lie fall to the floor, because these lies come from those who don't really know you. But I know you, every part of you. I saw you before you were born. Formed you in my mother's womb. And even then I knew all of your days. I always knew where you are and what you'll say before you say it. I know everything about you. Even how many hairs are on your head. I know you better than you even know yourself. You are my child. You are loved. You are my masterpiece. You are forgiven. You are healed. You are free. You are perfect. You are a conqueror. You are fearless. You are a light. You are a temple. You are a messenger. You are a world changer. These are not aspirations. I hope you will be one day. This is who you are right now. Now that you know this, forget who you once were and remain in my truth of who you are. Amen. It's time we see how God sees us. It will change how we see ourselves. I belong to the King. Period. Come on up, men, if you would. Before we close this service out, I know we did this little exercise, but I want to open the altar this morning just for a minute. That if you need something from God today, whatever that is, He knows already what it is. I want you to come to the altar and just claim it this morning. Say, Lord, I receive what you have for me right now in this season of my life. I know I'm on purpose, and I know I'm supposed to be here. And God, here I am to receive it. Come talk to him this morning. Think about how much God loves you right now, in all of your stuff, in all of your shortcomings, how much he loves you. And God, we thank you that you love us beyond ourselves. We're thankful, God, that you're always there and you never leave us, and that we are on purpose. We're here on purpose, God. You put us here. We're not a mistake. We're not an accident. We're not a misfit. We are here and designed and designated and ordained and appointed to be here today in this season in 2018. We are here by your hand. Thank you for that, Lord. We celebrate our life that you've given us, our chance, our opportunity, our moment on the earth, the footprints we leave behind, God. We celebrate that chance to impact others and to make a difference for your kingdom. We celebrate it, and we're thankful for it. Give us a heart, God, to serve others that they will see the same love that we see you have for us. In Jesus' name. This word of God that changes our lives to know we're on purpose and how much we're loved. We give you praise, honor, and glory, God, for the precious price you paid for us. Give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.